It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Baseball family, this week we're going to go over the Rays City Connect uniforms, Mason Miller's pitching, and our first panicker patients of the season right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I'm Brig. I'll be co-hosting this party tonight with the Bradmaster. How are you, Mr. Bradman?
I'm doing well. I'm doing good. It's a good day for baseball, Brig.
Well, it's a busy day for baseball is what it is.
It is busy. Yeah, because we got a lot. There's a whole mess of stuff to get through tonight. So why don't we get started? A whole heap. You're right.
Whole heap of stuff. Yep. Speaking of a whole heap, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and their City Connect uniform drops. Take a deep
breath.
Boy,
howdy.
Breathe back out. We're going to get into it, okay? So, ultimately, okay, let's see. How do we start this? This is a very underground nod, okay? So, let's show them, Brad. Will you show them the first?
I'll get on there and I'll show them. Okay.
Here's the deal.
First one. Here we go.
They're calling it their Grit and Glow uniform. Okay. It celebrates the independent underground spirit of Tampa Bay, our defiantly bold, bright, and vibrant home. That's a quote directly from the Rays and their website. So they say they welcome wild ideas, surreal expression, daring individuality. I'm reading from the website still. Ultimately, the elements of the uniform are the most interesting. So let's get into those. The Tampa Bay across the jersey breast, I guess, is the old school font, and it's got the slant like it used to have, but it now has what looks to me like biker flames.
Yeah, they're flames. Definitely flames. Yeah.
They're flames. But they look like they belong on the side of a gas tank of like a motorcycle. That's what they look like to me.
So.
But anyway.
We'll get into it in just a minute. But honestly, really though, Brig. And I don't know if it's because I read that it was supposed to be like a nod to skateboarding. But I did think of like Trans World Skateboarding.
Yeah. That makes sense.
When I saw it,
I could see that. Okay, so I'm just going to go through this. As a tribute to the region the Rays call home, Tampa Bay adorns the jersey for the first time since 07. And we looked it up. They have not worn the words Tampa Bay on a uniform since 07. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, currently they have, it just says Rays, or they have the starburst on the left side of the jersey. It does not say Tampa Bay.
That's pretty awesome, actually. So what they're doing is they're going with their iconic skate media, street art, and underground culture. Did you know that Tampa Bay was known for any kind of skateboard scene or culture?
No, I didn't. And that's mostly because it's not included on any of the Tony Hawk games that I played growing up.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea. It's not on that. There's no nod to it on skate. I had no clue. And I've never, ever seen like the X Games be like, hey, this year we're going to be in Tampa, as far as I remember, right? It's always like Southern California is what you associate skateboarding with. And not to say that I don't think they skateboard on the East Coast. Obviously they do. But sure. It's not a place that I think of when I think of skateboard culture. I think of like Venice Beach or Ventura, Southern, like California, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I was shocked that this was a thing. So
yeah,
I'm going to put this out there right now though, Brig, because of this, I expect to see a Tampa Bay Rays City Connect jersey as an option for character customization come the Skate 4 release.
Ooh, that's sweet.
I need that now. If this is so tied in with skateboarding culture and everything like that, then Skate 4 needs to include the Tampa Bay City Connect as part of their character customization options.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That is truly... what a great idea.
And I will buy the game if they do.
Yeah. Well, you might have been watching it out for it anyway, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've been watching out for it.
Yeah, anyway, you have.
I digress. Go ahead with the next thing.
Okay. So they've got the Skate for All. They've got a Tampa Bay Ray. The Ray is skating. Again, back to the skateboarding
thing. I haven't seen it though. Honestly,
I can't like, see it talked either. About
it. I don't see it. Like, it's not on the socks. I don't see it there anywhere.
It's
like,
not on the uniform.
Where
it's
is
not over the
dock
tag, the laundry tag.
Where is the skating ring?
It's not there. I don't know. I can't find it. But it says it's there. Maybe it'll be on, I don't know, graphics in the stadium? I don't know. Interesting.
I guess. I don't know.
Go ahead. The cap is black. Okay, let's just call it. It's straightforward black. Finally, something straightforward. Just kidding. I'm not a curmudgeon. Nor am I poopy pants. The cap is black, and it looks... terrific. I just needed to get that out of the way. And I don't know. It's purple on the visor. It's got electric neon lime green along its accents. And then the front icon logo is a Sunshine Skyway bridge showing the bay itself, which rolls into a tail. And it looks like a Ray. It's
fair. Here it is. I've got it right here. I just went and grabbed it. And that there was like the one thing I remember. So I saw initially, like, there was an image that leaked the other day and it showed the socks. I was like, oh, shoot. It's like the water in the bridge. Like I said, that's the only thing I got right about this. What's that bridge that connects Tampa to St. Petersburg? Nailed it.
I only have one thing that I got right as well. If you'll, let me see if I can pull it really quick and upload it. Because I said they need to do something with the flamingo that's on the flag. And they did.
Oh, yeah, they did. So let's talk about the flamingo for a minute. Well, no, they did a pelican brig.
Or sorry, not a flamingo, a pelican. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, so let's see. So, yeah, so they said... they're calling it Home of the Berg, representing home field advantage in St. Petersburg, such that it is. The Pelican holds a special place in the city. Like you said, it's on the flag. But it also represents baseball history in the city with the 1940s and 50s Florida State Negro League St. Pete Pelicans.
There you go.
So I do think that's cool.
Brad, I found the skating ray.
Oh, it's on the inside of the jersey, like on the neck?
Yeah.
So you'll never see it.
No, you'll never see it. But that, let's be honest, the City Connect uniforms are full of oddities and little unnoticeable details that you're not going to see unless you buy
it. Well, it's like the Mariners, they have My Oh My above the jock tag, and then there's the cross tridents in that same spot where they have the skating ray. So the only people who will ever see it are the people who buy it, though, really.
Yeah, but I don't mind that. I think that those details are neat. Mm-hmm. I like that they... yeah, are thinking down to that level. I don't think they always execute it well, but I like that they're trying to think down to that level of detail.
Yeah, down to the minutia.
Yep. Okay, so let's look at the jersey. As you can see here in this image, the jersey has a very faded appearance at first blush, maybe is what we'll call it, but it is designed to simulate a black shirt that has been weathered in the Florida sun. And I also saw that the under visor of the cap is in a very similar color pattern with the flecked texture.
It's grip tape, though.
It's grip tape. So, yes, What I was getting to that, because once I saw the grip tape explanation, I was like, man, that's what the jerseys look like.
Yeah, it does. Looks like you used grip tape. And it should. Like, if you're going to go skateboard, you've got to have grip tape on there somewhere. I think 100%. It would have been cool, Brig, if they had put actual grip tape under the visor.
Yeah, that would be
cool. I know you can't, but...
I know.
That would have been a pretty cool
But maybe thing. As a one-off for, you know, fans or something, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, there are gradient accents throughout, as you can see on the right sleeve here. He's got a gradient. You can see it here. It's not on the left sleeve. It's on the right sleeve. It's all the way down the piping on the
pants as well. That is by design. That embodies the against-the-grain mentality.
A little off-balance. It
takes to break new ground in St.
There you go. I like it.
So okay. What are your overall thoughts on this whole thing here, Brig?
I will say that the background images, the studio in which they took these photos is magnificent. I got to see what they look like on the field. But my first impression is intrigue. And I love that it's loud. I love that it's kind of a flamboyant, in-your-face design. Because the Rays, to me, have always represented a certain... countercultural element to baseball anyway. So
because nobody shows up, like
exactly, but they continue to succeed. But even when they were expanding, even when they expanded and they brought them in to the league, like it was they wore weird colors and they had a weird, you know, what do you call it? Mascot and team name was different. And I remember it wasn't storied and it wasn't historic and it wasn't all that stuff. And it felt new and it felt dangerous. And I don't know. I'm getting that.
It did feel new and cool though. I get what you're saying with that. Like, yeah, it was different than everything else.
Yeah. I'm getting that from this here. And I like that.
Yeah. So my first impression of this is I love it.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I think it's awesome. If I was going to buy another City Connect jersey, it very well could be this one. I think it's really because we've all worn that color of a black t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That t-shirt that's not black anymore. Yeah, we've all worn that.
100%.
That's super cool. And I love all the different colors. I love the gradients because I love the original color scheme with the Rays. I don't love the execution of the Ray with the bridge, but it still looks cool. It's not a hat that I would buy, but if I saw somebody wear it, I'd be like, that's a sick hat, dude. Like,
yeah,
I like that a lot. I think they're going to look really good on the field too. You know, the only thing I can think of that would make them look better is white pants.
I knew you were going to say that.
Make that jersey stand out just a little bit more.
Nah, instead of the it's going to look pants. Great with white pants and they're going to do it. But for me, if you keep that image up, you see on the belt where it's that neon green, and then there's the blue and the green and the blue and the green all the way down the piping.
Down the piping, yeah.
Yeah, if they had filled in the words Tampa Bay with that same vibrant gradient color scheme, that would have sealed it up. Then it would.
So I wonder if the Tampa Bay across the chest, I wonder if it doesn't have that because it's like an aged screen printed t-shirt where a lot of the lettering has worn off.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder if that's another thing they're going with there. Like an old t-shirt isn't going to be bright and vibrant across the chest. It's going to be faded, but we need to show what it says, but the color can't be there because it's been faded or after years of use in the sun and washing and everything like that. So I get what you're saying. I think it would have looked really good too, but I think that's what they were going for on this was the whole faded t-shirt look.
Yeah. I'm going to upload one more image while we're talking because I want to show one more thing that didn't get highlighted in our previous discussion. Then we can move on from this. But look at Randy's name across the back.
That looks like something you would see in laser tag.
Yep. And that's what I wanted to see on the front.
Yeah. I get it.
It would have popped. It would have been better. That's my opinion and it ought to be yours. Thanks for coming. Okay.
Just for going my TED talk.
Feel however you want.
Outstanding. No, I think they look great though. I love them. I'm very excited about this. Very much so.
Yeah. I did have a little bit of an emotional roller coaster when I was going through and looking at the photos, but I've landed on very happy. So
nice. Very good. Very, very good.
All right. Okay. Let's move on, because Major League Baseball, speaking of uniforms, is finally going to take action and do something about the crappy jersey and jersey pants situation all the way around. Jersey pants? We're going to call them jersey pants. You know what I meant. Changes will take effect as of 2025, hopefully by the start. Yeah.
At the latest, the start of the season, what they're saying. So if we're lucky, maybe we'll see something later this year, maybe after the All-Star break.
I would love to see an All-Star, a post-All-Star break adjustment. Okay, recap of the issues. The names are smaller on the back because the MLB logo was moved down from the collar onto the back across the chest or across the shoulders. It's one of the worst decisions. I don't like the material, the way it sweat wicks and all that moisture and the different color pants and the see-through fabric. For me, there are so many problems, but the biggest one is the stupid way the names look on the back. It just is.
Yeah.
For me, it's the glaring issue. I'm not wearing them. I'm not sweating in them every day. So obviously I have a different opinion, different priorities, but so they need better pants because obviously they're tearing every time they turn around. Somebody's got a hole in it from their ankle to their butt cheek. And that's a huge problem.
Which is crazy because they don't have enough pants for everybody. So the fact that they are tearing, it's like you got an even bigger problem there. Like you can't, A, you can't have a guy go out there with torn pants. And B, you can't have a guy go out there with no pants. Bryce Miller for the Mariners wore the Bat Boys pants when he pitched in the City Connects a couple weeks ago because his didn't fit right. The Bat Boys fit better than his.
Dude.
Come on.
Wild.
What are you doing? It is wild.
So the tailoring customization options are a problem. See-through fabric are a problem. Rips and tears. The grays don't match top to bottom. So that's weird. The jerseys are over-absorbent.
Yeah, they were supposed to like wick the sweat away and then dry faster, but they're just, it just looks they're dumping water on themselves because they get so wet, so sweaty.
So the players obviously are concerned about this, and they've had some major issues. And so they've filed complaints about Nike that said that everybody says Fanatics have been great.
Well, of course they're going to say that because Fanatics has a deal with the Players Association. So Fanatics is literally paying the players. Nike is paying the league. So it's another owners versus players issue is what that becomes.
I think it's amazing. Tony Clark's like, Fanatics is stepping up to the plate and doing exactly what we need them to do. It's Nike that's the problem. And MLB's like, you tell Fanatics to turn out something better. And Fanatics is like, it's Nike's design. And Nike's like, take responsibility for your own stuff.
It always just concerns me for when the CBA comes up again. Because like, well, now we're going to have another 6 months without baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this will.
I don't like it, but anyway. I don't like it.
All right, let's move
on. There's a quote, Brig. Read the quote, Brig.
All right, fine. I'll read the quote. Quote, this has been entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated.
Exactly right. That is spot on. They didn't need to change it. I don't understand why Nike even was like, yeah, we have this new jersey type. Why? The cool base is outstanding. It's super comfortable, super stretchy, stays nice and cool. It's really lightweight. What else? What are you going to do with that? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're making a really crappy, shoddy fabric that does not stand up to the punishment of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's what they've done. It's so dumb. Stupid.
So if you're Majestic, right?
I am Majestic, Brad.
Yeah, you are. Let's be clear. Baseball family. Brad is Majestic. Okay. He is a unicorn. But if you're the company Majestic.
Okay.
And you lost the contract to this tomfoolery. Then what's going on in your head? That's what I want to know. Because this was honestly a 10-year, $1 billion situation.
So honestly, if I'm Majestic, what I would have been doing from day one when Nike took over this contract, was developing a better fabric, developing something that's better than what they had. Okay. Like, I'd have been like, let's dedicate 8 years to this. If we have to, let's get it right. Let's get it perfect so that we can pitch ourselves and get back into baseball. If that's what they want, or if I'm Under Armour, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the same thing if I'm Under Armour, so that I can come in. And if I'm Under Armour, I am undercutting this whole thing when I come in and pitch. Like, look, like, do some kind of durability testing. Like, look, this won't happen. Have somebody model them. Look, you can't see through them. Look, this guy's sweating bullets. It doesn't even look like it. And then 5 minutes later, holy cow, his jersey's perfectly dry. Like, I would have the best compare and contrast pitch put together if I'm Majestic, if I'm Under Armour, if I'm Reebok and I want to get back into baseball. Whoever, anybody who wants to get back in baseball, I would have an immediate compare and contrast pitch that says, this is ready to go day one. This is what's most similar to what the players liked before and what is most the best quality. And I'm going to have it ready for you. And you know what? Unless the players complain about it, we will not deviate. Because guess who's wearing it? They are. They need to be comfortable on the field to perform at their highest level. That would be my pitch.
Yep.
Under Armour, I am for sale. For hire, I should say.
The only thing I would add, I agree with every single thing you've said. The only thing I would add is I would be calling Baseball United immediately. And I would be testing whatever fabric I produce in the Emirates.
I would say test it there.
Yep.
Maybe test it in the Caribbean.
Yep. Test it there, then get it into
Venezuela.
Dominican Republic or something. And yep.
Test it in the Dominican Summer League. But exactly. You probably can't because that's an affiliated league, so they probably get to wear Nike. So maybe you can't.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
in Mexico, you test it in Mexico.
You can test it in Venezuela. Exactly. There's a lot of places to do it, but because Baseball United is so new and everything feels like it's fair game right now. Like, there's lots on the table, especially that golden baseball rule that counts for freaking million home runs or whatever. Like, that was not hyperbole.
No, I know. I need to look into it. I've only seen grumblings of it.
Happened one time. Anyway, the point is, that's who I'd be calling.
You know who else you have tested? You know who else you have tested?
Who?
The Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals.
Dude. And their new firefighters.
Have those guys test it out. See what they think
about it. Yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, and then who you call? Little League World Classic. You get the Little League involved. You build colleges. It from the ground up. Yeah, you gotta do colleges. Once you've tested it in the Emirates or in Venezuela DR, whatever.
Well, I think you go to college first. I think you go to college first because Under Armour and Adidas have deals with schools that Nike doesn't
lock.
Make them your guinea pigs to start with.
Makes sense to me. You've already got contracts with those guys.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Good call.
Makes it easy.
All right. Speaking of uniforms, Brad covers this last time when I was gone, but we've now seen the Met City Connect uniforms live and we've got a video. I want to know from you, Brad. And if you guys haven't seen this, baseball family, let me know. But this is what they look like on the field with the white pants and the gray top. Brad, did your opinion change from last week's episode to now?
So from a distance, they just look gray. You can't see the pins. And so the gray and the white looks good. And that thick piping down the side, I think looks good. They look really good on the field. Yeah, they look really good on the field. But then once you get that close up, it still looks awkward because it's the gray with the black pin, or what looks like a black pin, thick black pinstripe.
Yeah.
So I don't love that. But from a distance on the field, it looks really good. The gray and the white, I like it. And I will say that the hats look really sharp in person. I saw one over
there. Yeah,
I liked it.
They'll need to because they don't look great on some of the photos.
Yeah.
But the batting helmets look awesome with it raised off of the...
Yeah, the texture on it. Yeah, those are sweet. Yeah, they need to do... I noticed the Rays showed their batting helmets, but I was like, it looks exactly like the hat. But they should have showed those Mets helmets when they released the pictures because that looks awesome. Looks so good. Yeah,
it was a massive improvement.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Mets uniforms will light up under a black light, kind of like the Tampa Bay Rays seem to. You know, don't you just want to take a it's black like that light?
Purple. If the purple yeah, would light up.
Exactly. Like you could be at a roller rink. You know, think about you skating at a skating rink. Or at a what?
A rave. A downtown New York rave.
Yeah.
I don't know where they hold raves in New York, but I'm sure they have
them. I don't either. But there's like, it's all downtown. So
you're right. Yeah. Just that's why I was like, well, downtown's too broad of a term for New York.
Okay. Okay. We're going to move on past uniforms. Houston has a serious problem. You talked about that. We've talked about it, but it's getting way, way worse. They've now, I think they've only won, what, 9 games?
Yeah, they're in the cellar in the AL West, which is not a good place to be the cellar of these days.
No, they're in last place at 9 games won and 19 losses. Yeah, I got it right here. Unbelievably bad. So what they've done is they've called up one of their top prospects. His name is Joey LaFerrita. Or for those of you wanting to know, it's actually La Perfido.
Ah.
Joey LaPerfido. He's going to come in to play first base, and this is fascinating because he has done time in center field, right field, left field, second base, first base, all throughout the minors and some in college. So over the last 25 games at AAA Sugarland, he has been batting .393, .713, 1.106, Brad. Not 1.016, 1.106. That's 72 total bases, 13 home runs, 27 RBIs. That's 25 games in AAA this season, okay? And we know we can't get too hot and bothered about these numbers. Jackson Holliday is a terrific example of why, especially when you compare. Now, this guy's like 24, 25, so there's some maturity there that maybe Jackson Holliday doesn't quite have. Not mental and emotional maturity, just experience, right? But this guy also cruised through the minors. In 2023, he went from High A Asheville all the way to Triple A Sugarland in a 124 game stretch.
That's pretty darn good.
It's pretty good. That's fast.
Because like a lot of organizations, they will like they'll move guys up, but it feels like a lot of places will only do one step a year. That they're not going to let a guy make the jump and then make the jump again. So to go up two levels, that's they think really highly of him.
Yeah, I think he played
really must have been tearing it up at Double A.
He did. I think he played 84 games at Double A, so that accounts for the lion's share of his 2023 campaign, for sure. It sounds like they gave him a look at the end of the season at Triple A, and then probably brought him into camp, and were impressed and left him in Triple A. Now they're calling him up. So. He's played now. Check this out. This is my favorite part. Joey has played 58 games at first base in his entire minor league experience. 58 games, 276 total games in the minor leagues, and 58 of them have played any time at first base. And they're calling him up to play first base in the bigs.
I think. I don't know. I feel like as an athlete, like you can play first base, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of times guys will get moved to first base later in their careers. But if you have a good enough glove, they'll put you at first base.
Yeah.
Like you can fill. The real thing for me here, though, like aside from him, is like Jose Abreu plays first base.
He does. I was going to get to that. Yep.
So.
And talk about taking an elder statesman and swapping him for the youngest guy you can find.
Yeah. So are they going to bench him? Are they going to DFA him?
They're not going to option him to AAA.
They can't. They have to DFA him.
Not going to happen.
He's got too much service time.
I don't know what they're going to do.
So, yeah, that's the crazy thing to me. I would be really nervous if I was Jose Abreu, but I feel like a lot of times guys like they can see the writing on the wall, right? They're like, it's getting to be the end.
I felt like the writing was already very clearly painted on the wall when he left Chicago, And
right. Well, because it was so bad to start the year last year.
Yep. And then he turned out to be great. Like, he really contributed.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. But basically, they need this kid up for his bat. So putting him at first base, you're right, makes a lot of sense. But hopefully he's not a 4A guy. Hopefully
for him. For
Houston. Hopefully for Houston and for him that he's actually a big leaguer. Just waiting. Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on that if it gets interesting. If it doesn't get interesting, we're not going to tell you anything about it, baseball family. Just right. Because if it's not interesting, we're not going to care.
I do think, though, I think that we could see Jose Abreu get DFA'd here in the next week and a half.
If this kid performs,
If he does anything at all.
Yeah.
Abreu's gone.
Okay, let's stay in the American League West for a little bit because somehow the A's are not horrible.
they're still in third place in the division.
I wouldn't say they're great. They're 12-17, but they're in third place, 3.5 games behind Seattle. And their last first 10 place has
Seattle
been
Mariners, by the way.
It is first place Seattle Mariners. That's right. But really, the sensation, because all the negativity we've been talking about, the A's being awful and the stadium sucks and the ownership sucks and everything's terrible. So let's do some positivity. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this up. Mason Miller is the hardest throwing reliever in the ball game right now, pretty much anywhere. And the dude is lights out. I'm going to play some footage for you while we talk over some stuff. There he is striking out Mr. Cabbage Patch. So in his last 10 games, he has tossed 12 1/3 innings. He has a 1.46 ERA, 7 saves. He's only allowed 7 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks. Brad, he has 25 strikeouts out of 48 batters faced. And he hasn't given up a single home run.
Not yet.
I know, right? Like, it's bound to happen.
You say that. but still, it's crazy because he's been a revelation, and we've talked about this before. There's a lot of talent on that A's team, like A's organization. They know how to pick them, they know how to develop them, they know how to trade them, like they know how to flip them, right?
Yeah,
like Mason Miller is the next big thing to come out of Oakland or Sacramento or Vegas, wherever they are, when they decide they don't want to pay him and they have to trade him, and who knows. They've said that moving to Sacramento, they want to jump way up in payroll, right? Because they want to pay some guys. They want to attract guys. So they want to go, like, I think they said the top third in payroll. So who knows? Maybe Mason Miller is the guy who gets lucky.
Yeah.
Gets paid. Or maybe it's Shane Langeliers. I don't know. But one of those, somebody there is going to get paid because they have some legitimate talent in Oakland right now.
Yeah. Estuary Ruiz is a great example.
Yeah. I just don't know how much they believe in him because they sent him back down for whatever reason.
I agree. That was because he wore a bracelet that was supportive of a company that was against the ownership group.
Maybe. That's the conspiracy theory.
He's right back up. And they pulled him right back up after a very short time.
Well,
same with Rooker. They brought Rooker right back in.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Because Rooker's another great player, too. It's like they have a ton of talent on that team.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, but Mason Miller, though, is going to be a problem for a lot of teams this year, and it's a little scary, to be honest. I'm just glad he's not a starter so that, like, he doesn't have to come in and, like, face your guys for 5-6 innings, whatever, and shut them down. That it's like, Mason Miller's in, close the game out, probably out of reach anyway, that's fine. You know, 1 or 2 runs probably wasn't going to happen this inning, so not a big deal, you know. It's crazy, though, watching him. Like, Slider has a 47.1% swing and miss rate. So not only is he pumping almost 104 in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a slider that you can't hit either. So
no, you can't. And his changeup comes in at, like, 87. So it's not even his fair. Swing is from 87 to 103.5. He's got like 8, 7, 8, 9, something like that, of the hardest, the fastest thrown pitches on the season. He has like numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Until Skeens gets up, then he'll take over. But for now, for sure. Mason Miller's the dude. He's the dude. So
yeah. All right, Brad, will you tell us about Hunter Wendelstedt? Give us an update or a recap in case people missed it.
Okay, so five pitches into the bottom of the first inning last week, speaking of the A's, the Yankees are playing the A's. And I think from what I remember, Gleyber Torres got brushed back. Aaron Boone wasn't happy about it. He wanted a warning issued. Didn't happen. Hunter Wendelstedt warned Boone instead. He said, I heard something from you again. You're going to get tossed. And then a fan behind the dugout said, let's go home plate. Hunter Wendelstedt and his rabbit ears took exception to that and ejected Aaron Boone immediately.
Immediately. Yes. Aaron Boone proceeded to lose his bananas.
As he should have. I would have too. I think that's the one time that he was absolutely justified in just going crazy on the umpire because it was totally unwarranted. Hold on.
To be fair, it is justified more often than this.
It is. But this one's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you can have this one. Yeah, I agree.
Get the trash can, bury home plate, whatever I don't care what you want to do. Throw the rosin bag like a grenade, whatever you want to do. I don't care. It is
Bobby completely Cox. Warranted
because this was absolutely
the rosin bag. I forgot about the rosin bag like a grenade from the mound.
That minor league manager who army crawled out there and everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna find that. I'm gonna find it.
So funny. But anyway, so Hunter Wendelstedt, he got punished? Is that? MLB is offering the softest punishment in the history of the concept. League feels the umpire could have handled the situation differently, as does the rest of the world. And so they're going to add that to his yearly performance evaluation. It'll factor into whether he's eligible to umpire the All-Star game and postseason games. Because that's the best they can do to punish umpires these days.
Yep.
Thanks to their current collective bargaining agreement.
Baseball family, we couldn't get it fast enough for you, so we're going to go ahead and move on. But we will put a link in the description to that YouTube video. If you got 2 minutes and you want a good giggle, it's worth your time. All right.
Good one.
Brad has a question.
What in the New York Yankees is going on, Batman? So this was weird. And I know baseball is weird. We say it all the time, right? The Brewers won. So of the weekend series, the Yankees played the Brewers. The Brewers won game one on Friday. They went 7-6, went in extras, everything. But the Yankees won on Saturday 15-3. And then Sunday 15-5. I don't know. It's weird. The Brewers are not a bad team. Shouldn't be losing by a combined. Let's see, what's that? That's 12, 10, 22 runs in 2 days? 30-8?
Yeah.
Who does that?
30-8. I don't know.
Good teams don't typically do that, but the Brewers, we might be a good team. I don't know anymore.
They're 17-11.
Ultimately, and they could just be a hot start, right? The Pirates had the hot start last year, and then they fizzled off and were nothing. So it could end up being that. I don't know. But in honor of John Sterling, I just wanted to drop this in there because it's bonkers. That's baseball, Susan.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. Baseball,
yeah. We got to bring that back this season because that was one of my favorite segments from last year.
We should bring it back this season. We'll have to make sure we find stuff for that. Okay, let's talk about the Orioles real quick.
Okay. Despite Jackson Holliday's debauchery, that's the wrong word. Why did I say it that way?
Debauchery is
debacle.
There you go.
I can vocabulary tonight, baseball family. It's going to be just fine. Despite the difficulties that Jackson Holliday had in his being optioned, the Orioles have tied the Yankees for first place in the AL East. That's terrible news for me. Everybody else is really happy about it. But even more fun is Gunnar Henderson hit a leadoff tonight, the 29th, and that makes him the youngest player in Major League Baseball history to have hit 10 home runs before May 1st. That's awesome.
That's crazy.
It ties Mike Trout.
He is tied with Mike Trout for the major league lead. But the thing that's interesting, though, is that, like, yes, he has more days now because used to the season would start a little bit later in April. But still, the fact that it's him and not anybody else in the league right now, nobody in the league the last 10 or so years either, despite who we have had debut the last 10 to 15 years, hasn't done it.
Even Aaron Judge didn't come out in 2017 with 10 by May 1st.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's crazy. So
it's crazy.
Good on him. It's crazy. So another thing that's crazy about this is that people that, like, I feel like people have been talking about Jackson Holliday, like, oh, you think Gunnar Henderson's good? Wait till Jackson Holliday comes up, right? It's like, well, no, Jackson Holliday is, or Gunnar Henderson is what they've been selling Jackson Holliday as, I feel like. He is everything you want defensively and everything you want offensively. He is just a flat-out baller.
And he's dude's a baller.
Absolutely killing it. But before we move on from this, though, we talked about Mike Trout having the Major League Baseball home run lead. We have our Trout tracker on the screen. You can see it right, boop, right here. That will be there all season long because we are running a giveaway. You can hit the link in the description and in the pinned YouTube comments to enter our Trout tracker giveaway. Submit your guess to how many home runs you think Trout will hit this season. Closest to the pin without going over will win a Baseball Together t-shirt. We have some rules and stuff on the form, but you can get that. You can read that as you fill it out. So give us your guess, your name, your email address. We'll be in touch.
Very cool. Okay, this weekend we had three sweeps. The Twins swept the Angels, the Phillies swept the Padres, and the Nats, whom you don't expect to sweep anybody, swept the Marlins. And if they were going to sweep anybody, that makes a lot of sense.
Expect to be swept by everybody.
There are 29 other teams. I would not have believed you.
Exactly right. Maybe the White Sox, but even then. Yeah, you'd expect them to get one out of those, but still.
All right, last, before we go, we'll leave you with today in baseball history. April 30th, 1961. Playing in Milwaukee, Willie Mays hit four home runs in a 14-4 Giants victory over the Braves. Baseball family, with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do our first round of Panic or Patience of the 2024 season.
Welcome back, baseball family. So like Briggs said, this is our first installment of Panic or Patience this season. If you're new to the show or you just didn't see it last year, what we do with this is we take the bottom couple teams of every division and we identify whether we think that they should be having panic, whether they should be panicking or having patience with
you can have first panic.
One. You can have panic. Exactly right. Panic and pain. But anyway, we're just going to be talking about what we think, how these teams should be addressing things going forward. So Brig, let's go with, we always start in the AL East. Let's start with the bottom of the AL East. You've got the Blue Jays. Currently the Blue Jays, they are not at the absolute bottom. They're not exactly, I don't know, right where you want to be, but they are 15-15, fourth place in the AL East. If you are the Blue Jays, are you panicking or are you having patience?
Patience. You got a couple of bats that still need to wake up. Otherwise, everything's not, nothing's falling off the rails. Toughest division in the league, in the entire league. Hang in there. It's okay. You're in a league where you can win where you can win 90, 95 games and still not make it into the playoffs.
That's why I'm panicking. That's why I'm panicking.
Yeah, there's time, though. There's time.
Because you've got to play how many games against the Orioles? How many games against the Yankees? Yes, the Red Sox are playing well right now, but that might fall off. But it might not because the Red Sox have talent. And the Rays have talent. You could end up being the bottom of that division. You've got to be able to find a way to fight through whatever's going on right now and figure it out. Like, I'd be panicking a little bit. Especially since if they don't make the playoffs this year, you've got to blow up that team.
Yeah.
You've got to break up the band.
It's all or nothing this year, for sure.
Has to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of missed promises with this team, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, but I'm not there yet. I might feel differently next month if they come up in this discussion again. But right now, I'm saying patience. Like, Vlad's got to wake up his bat. And then
big time. Yeah.
Like, big time, right? He's not the only one. I think there's time. I think you're patient.
Okay. What about the Rays? So we have the Rays. They are sitting in last at just 14-16. Not a bad record. Yeah. Five games back of the Orioles and the Yankees right now. 14-16 Rays, you panicking or having patience with this team?
Patience. Just, it's okay. It's too early. The AL East is so tight right now. It's so vicious, and there's so much just heaviness. Everything swings on one or two games, it seems, week to week. I just hang in there for a little bit. Just be patient.
I'd be saying the same thing, because the Rays, I know last year they started super duper hot and they pretty much rode that the rest of the season, right? Yeah. Into the playoffs, because they had some really bad stretches where it was like, man, they might not. But at the same time though, like, that is a team that is it's loaded with talent. They're super deep.
Yeah.
The pitching is super deep. They have some guys who they need to get back off the IL. The one worry I would, the one thing I would worry about as the Rays though, is Jose Siri is a head case. You got to get that guy sorted out. Like, there was something that happened last September where he didn't even run out of ball to first base. Instead, he peeled off, went straight in the dugout, slammed his helmet, and started pitching a fit. I was like,
that's right.
I get you're frustrated, man, but the body language. And it's continued to spiral since then. Like,
yeah,
he's your center fielder.
Yeah.
He's your center fielder and supposed to be one of your vets, because you got such a young team.
Yeah, like, with the young team.
I would be doing a lot to try to sort that out, because if he doesn't sort that out, then I might be panicking a little bit, because that could be toxic through the rest of the team.
Yeah, see, but I haven't seen evidence of toxic yet.
Right. I have not either.
There was last season. But I'd be worried
about that, though.
It'd be on the radar. It'd be a short leash. But I'm not there
yet. And maybe Randy Arozarena will come in and be like, dude, just deal with it. That's baseball.
That's baseball, Susan, right? And that's what I was going to say. Like, there are other guys who are way steadier. Even aggressive, but steadier. It's going to be all right. I'm not there yet.
Okay. All right, let's go to the AL Central. So in the AL Central, we have the Minnesota Twins sitting at 15-13, which is not bad, by the way, because they would be on top of, they'd be tied for first in the American League West at this very moment. But they're in fourth place in the AL Central because they got to go up against Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City. Who would have thought we'd be saying that at this point?
I can't believe that the Central is this contested.
Yeah,
right now it is. I don't see it falling off for a while. I think that we're going to have this is going to be a battleground at least until the All-Star break, probably.
Yeah, somebody's going to fall off. But I think it'll end up being a two-team race after the All-Star break.
I think so. I was just going to say that. Two teams.
Yeah.
But so I just don't know who the second team's going to be.
Yeah, if you're the Twins, though, at this point, are you going to have patience or are you panicking?
Patience.
Patience, so?
Yeah.
So, like I said, 15-13 isn't bad.
It's not bad.
But I would be a little bit worried about contending with the Tigers are really good.
That's the one I'm worried about.
And I've told you, man, watch out for Kansas City. Watch out for those
Royals. You're right.
Because that's a team, and it seems like they're figuring out that pitching situation.
I think for me, it comes down to this early in the season, it comes down to like division play versus play outside the division, interleague play, especially. Like, they just count differently, you know?
It always feels like it does. Yeah.
It always does.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's enough games separating them, and they're going to be away from one another often enough right now that.
So the reason that I'm. And I'm not going to say a full-fledged red alert panic with the Twins, but I'm not exactly patient yet, is because it's going to be so contentious at the top, because it's only going to be a two-team race. You want to be in and be that second team sooner than later, because you don't want to dig yourself a hole you can't get out of, because that's, we're going to get into a little bit, and it feels like that's what the Astros are doing. Because they always say, you cannot win a division in April, but you can definitely lose it. you want to make sure you're jockeying for position, even in April, to make yourself competitive when the time comes. Because the last couple of years, the Mariners, Astros, and Rangers may not have been in first place after April or May, but they were right there where they could get to it within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's why I'm not quite having patience.
You're squirrely, but you're not panicking.
Right. Yeah. Like a maybe a little uneasy.
Yeah. Antsy.
I'm uneasy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. AL West. We've got the Astros. Just talked about them. They're in the basement. They're 9-19. This is their worst start since like 2013.
Yeah.
They are 6 games back of the first place Mariners, which I love saying, by the way, in case you didn't notice. Are you panicking or having patience with the Astros?
I'm panicking. I'm panicking so hard I called up the new kid. I'm shaking all kinds of stuff up. I'm in full-blown hemorrhage, stop the bleeding, triage. It's bad. It's bad right now.
It is bad because they had a bad start last year, but it wasn't this bad.
No.
Right, and they won the division on the last day of the season, and it took an absolute meltdown by Texas and Seattle for them to win the division last year.
Here's the thing. Think about it this way, just for perspective. The Astros have only won 3 more games than the White Sox.
Did they win 3 games against the White Sox? Is that...
Maybe.
but this is the thing, though, is that they're decimated. Their starting rotation is decimated with injuries, and those guys are either going to be out all year or an extended period of time, and you cannot fill it. Those are not holes you can fill in. Ronel Blanco has been an absolute revelation, and Justin Verlander is back, but if you're winning 2 out of every 5 games, that's not going to get you anywhere.
It can't happen.
For those of you actuaries out there, that is a 400 winning percentage, and that ain't good.
I love our actuaries. I love you, actuaries.
Absolutely.
You guys are awesome.
So, yeah, 100% panicking as an Astro right now.
Oh, yeah.
How about the Angels, Brig? How about the Angels? The Angels are 10-18. They are in fourth place in the AL West, sitting above the Astros, 5 games back of the first place Mariners. But you got Mike Trout. Tied, leading the league with 10 home runs. What are you doing, panic or patience?
I'm not neither. I'm sitting back watching Mike Trout. Mike Trout's doing his thing. We're all happy for him.
Anthony Rendon's on the IL. Getting
their reps in. Yeah, Anthony Rendon. He's on his motorcycle somewhere or whatever he's doing. I don't know. But, that's...
Panic, patience, or business as usual? Business as usual.
Who cares?
It's watch funny, Mike though.
Trout hit home runs. That's it.
It's just funny, Brig, that the Angels are sitting there at 10-18, and it's like they're only 5 games back, but you know they're not going to close the gap because they never do. They've got Ron Washington. They've got Mike Trout. They've got Noah Shanwell, who's supposed to be really good. Zach Neto, who's supposed to be really good, but they're really young. But it's like they're not going to do anything with it because they never do.
I'm not worried about them if I'm Seattle.
Not even a little bit.
Like, no. And Seattle's going to be in that top, fighting for that top spot all year long.
As long as they can lay off Texas. Those balls. Yeah, they will be.
And the way things are going, maybe the former Oakland team will have that same. I mean, honestly.
Mitch Garber walked off the Mariners, by the way. Beat the Braves. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
I was so upset that Bryce Miller was going to get a loss after going 7 full, giving up 2 hits and 1 run. Oh, I was going to be so mad.
That would have been so bad to, like, losing with the line like that.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Amazing. Loving it. Okay. I'm back in a good mood now, Brick. Okay. NL East. Let's talk about the Mets. Let's talk about the Mets for a minute.
No.
The Mets.
No.
14-14. Got off to a hot start. Well, actually, no. They got off to a bad start. They went on a good streak for a little while, and now they're back. Not again. 4-6 in their last 10. Third place, six games back of the Braves. They're never going to catch the Braves. Nobody's going to catch the Braves. Are you panic or patience with the Mets? Or are you business as usual?
I mean,
they're like the Angels. You're business as usual. You're business as usual. And let me tell you why. You're business as usual because the front office said last year, we're not contending in 2024. So if you're not planning on contending this year, then you're just like, just go play, fellas. What happens, happens. What ifs? Yeah. Here we go. Like, Pete Alonso, I'm sorry we stink. Francisco Lindor, I'm sorry we stink. Let's go maybe win some games. You don't really care. You're not panicking. You're not having patience. You're just business as usual.
Just ambivalent. It's like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's just hang in there with Washington.
That's your benchmark. That's your benchmark. As long as we're above Washington and Miami and the standings, we're okay. Even though right now they're tied with the Nats, which that's odd.
Yeah, it's a weird. Okay.
Okay, let's go NL Central. We have three teams from this division. We have the Cardinals, Pirates, and Reds. Let's start with the Cardinals. The Cardinals are sitting at the bottom, 13 and 15. Not too bad this early in the year. So this is one thing, Brig, that I want to have some context with this. So a couple years ago when Jesse Winker played that 1 year in Seattle, he was standing at second base, and somebody said to him, like, man, you're off to a rough start. He's like, oh, it's been brutal. He's like, but don't worry about it. It seems like at this time of the season, it was like towards the end of April. It's like, it seems like this time of year, everybody's either hitting .125 or .500. Like, doesn't matter. You'll come around. It all, law of averages, it always evens out, right?
That's true.
So 100%. At this point, 13 and 15 might not be that bad because they're only 4.5 games back behind the Cubs.
Central, both Central divisions are always screwy to me. Like, I feel like there's a pretty clear indication of what's going on in the West, especially the National League West.
Yeah.
And the East has a pretty clear division, especially the National League. But it's just interesting. I don't know. Okay, can we move on to the Reds?
Well, hold on. So I'm just going to say with the Cards, I'm having patience still.
Yeah.
Like, that's I'm not worried about the Reds. Okay. The Cardinals. Yeah. Move on to the Reds. The Reds are 15 and 13. They're in third place, 2.5 back of the Cubs.
Yeah. I'm fidgeting.
You're fidgeting.
I'm fidgeting in my seat. I'm bouncing around. I'm not panicking, but I've got a tickle and it makes me uncomfortable.
Okay. I'm having patience with the Reds, and this is why. I'm not too worried about it yet. They've been able to hold their position in the division. This division, to me, this whole time, has felt like a 2-3 team race. I'm shocked that the Brewers are in there as well as they are. Still, I do think it's going to end up being a 3-team race between the Cubs, Brewers, and Reds. And the Reds, all they have to do is they have to, like, maintain. You know how sometimes, like, I mean, you've been to a NASCAR race. I don't watch a lot of NASCAR, but I understand some of the concepts, right?
For sure.
You don't necessarily want to, because it's the same thing in track, you don't necessarily want to be in the front. You want to draft a little bit behind.
Right. Yeah. Same with cycling. Right.
Yeah, cycling. The Reds are drafting. They're going to sit behind second and third place. And that team got a lot of really good experience last year, especially down the stretch. I'm not saying they're going to be able to turn it on, but they're going to be able to hold serve so they don't run out of gas in August, September. Like some teams do.
That's my concern with the Reds. That's why I'm fidgeting.
They're just
going to draft the whole way, and then there's not a next gear for them to climb into.
See, I don't think for them. I don't think it's going to be a flip or a switch that they flip.
You think they'll just slowly increase?
Red. I think that it's just gonna click naturally for them.
Okay. Well, either way, I lean on the panic side. I'm not patient.
And that makes sense. And you know, I can see that because they are such a young team, super young team, that you might be panicking a little bit this early. So let's talk about the Pirates for just a minute. The Pirates are 14 and 15. Again, they got off to a pretty good start, but they're 3-7 in their last 10 at this point.
Panic. Everybody's panicking. Full-blown panic.
My thing is, like, I don't know if they had any expectations, so it's like maybe they're just business as usual.
But if you're Skeens and if you're some of the other young talent that they're just sitting there waiting to come up, are you waiting? If the front office, are you waiting for those guys to develop and have the intersection of it doesn't matter anymore? Are you going into it with it doesn't matter anymore? And the whole point is to hold, keep time while we wait for those guys to come up like Paul Skeens? Like,
I think we're going to be able to see what the Pirates, how the Pirates feel about this in 2 weeks. In two weeks, if they call up Skeens and they have not improved beyond where they're at right now in the standings or their record, like I said, 3-7 in the last 10, if they're hovering around 3-7, 5-5 in their last 10, they're not getting up to 6-4, 7-3 in any 10-game stretch. And if they call up Skeens in 2 weeks, then you know that they were panicking.
Yeah.
That they're like, okay, we got to unload the chamber here. We got to try to get going if we're going to contend. Yeah. Or if they're like, okay, we're 3-7 in our last 10. We weren't expecting anything this year. We'll just wait till September when the roster extends by two spots and we'll bring them up. We don't want to have them come up in a lost season until it doesn't matter anymore.
And it won't affect his service time too. They're thinking that.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready to move on to the NL West?
For sure.
Okay. NL West. I love this game. It's so fun. We should include next week when we do emoji tiers, we need to include contenders or pretenders because we forgot to do
it. Yeah,
this
we need to.
We didn't have
to. But I mean, the NL West is fascinating.
It is. Yes. NL West is fascinating. You got the Dodgers sitting on top of 18-12. But then second place, you got the Giants 14-15. So let's just go down these other three because the Rockies don't matter. They're 7-21.
No.
So if the Giants are 14-15 in second place, they're 3.5 games back, though. Not bad. Right.
Nah.
So it's the Giants in second place. Are you panic or patience?
Just sitting pretty, feeling good.
I think you are too because, well, so this is the thing. You know you're not going to win the division anyway, right?
Probably Absolutely not.
You've got to keep your eye on the wild card, though, because in the wild card, they're a game and a half back, which isn't bad. Isn't bad.
No.
But you always have to have your eye on that.
That's the mark. That's the watermark. Yep, I agree. Yeah.
So if you can set the standard for the wild card, you're sitting pretty. At this point, a game and a half back, end of April, I'm not worried.
Nah, everything's fine.
I'm having patience. Okay. Padres are 14-17. Mm-hmm. 4.5 back of the Dodgers. 2.5 back in the wild card. I feel like it's a similar situation with the wild card, but the Padres may or may not be a bigger mess than the Giants.
Yep. We don't know yet. That's why I say I don't know what to say about San Diego other than back to what I was feeling with the Reds. It's very similar. I'm like, fidgeting in my seat. You know, I'm like, okay. I'm uneasy, but I'm not panicking.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I'd be a little fidgety as the Padres as well.
Yeah.
Okay. The Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a fascinating case study, Brig. Okay. So they are 13-16, 4-6 in their last 10. But you want to know something interesting?
Yep.
They have a plus 29 run differential.
Yeah.
How, riddle me this, how do you have a plus 29 run differential and you're sitting three games, nay, four games under 500 because I think they lost tonight already?
I have no idea.
Oh, they're about to lose. They're down 8-4 to the Dodgers. Are you kidding me? I say about to lose. Like they're most likely.
The Dodgers. Yeah.
So.
The top of the ninth.
So let's say they're four games under 500 with a plus 25 run differential. I don't know how that happens.
I don't either.
But
I don't know either.
Ultimately,
panic. Panicking.
Panic. Panic.
Panic.
You got Sheer off to a hot start last panic. Year. You're able to ride it through like a terrible, terrible second half of July and August. And still make the playoffs. And part of the reason they even made the playoffs is because Seiya Suzuki misplayed a ball in right field.
Exactly.
Like the second to last day of the season, right? That's part of how they made the playoffs. And then they got hot and rolled the momentum to the World Series.
For sure.
So I would absolutely be
where they belonged, by the way. They didn't just limp in just, and then
right, because
be a punching bag.
The first half of the season, they were one of those teams where the first half of the season, they were one of the best four or five teams of baseball.
Yeah, you're like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it got weird.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Diamondbacks, though, I'm a little worried about Corbin Carroll right now.
Yeah.
I think despite his struggles, you need to put him back in the leadoff spot because that's where he was at his best last year. You can't have him batting five or six. That's not where he goes.
Nope.
That's just,
and it's not where he goes in his head. Exactly. He's sitting there thinking, this is not where I belong. You can't have your guy doing that. You don't want him thinking that way.
And even if he's not saying it, there's a mental aspect to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know there is. Because you look at guys' stats, there are certain places where they bat better in the lineup. And part of it is mental. Part of it is the number and type of pitches that they're seeing in their first at bat. Part of it is who's on base, who's not on base, who's behind them, things like that. Like, there is a whole other aspect to where guys hit in the lineup other than just like, oh, man, I don't like batting fifth.
Yeah, well, no, it's way more nuanced than that.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to it. So, yeah, they've got to put him back in the leadoff spot. They've got to be patient with him getting going because he will. He's talented enough. He will.
Oh,
he'll adjust.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird. It's like they overhauled that team this offseason and were like, let's try it again, but a different way. And it's not working. Not even a little bit.
No, it's not working.
So, anyway, those are our panic and patience. Let us know, what you think, baseball family. Hop down in the comments. Let us know. Are there teams that we think are panicking, shouldn't be? Are there teams that we're being extra patient with that should be panicking? Let us know in the comments on the YouTube machine, or you can actually send us an email. I've been meaning to do this. I keep forgetting. Send us an email, baseballtogetherpod@gmail.com. You can reach out to us directly. That is one of the easier ways to do it. We will always respond to emails and likely read them on the show as well. So,
correct.
Got that going for you, which is nice.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Anywhere you can, like, subscribe, rate, and review. It helps us a ton, particularly on the YouTube machine. We are having a blast on YouTube right now. So it is a lot of fun, and it's thanks to you, our viewers and our listeners, and really grateful for all the interaction. I mean, we have had a ton of fun in the comment section lately. It's been really fun to discuss Juan Soto and whether or not he's going to be a Yankee next year and how much fun he's actually having. Trevor Bauer has been a great topic. Angel Hernandez, baseball's evil angel, has been a fun topic of discussion in the YouTube comments. So we've really enjoyed that. If you're not already following us and a subscribe on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe button because it's becoming more fun every day.
It is. And we're dropping videos every single day, clips of the show, because we know not everybody has an hour or however long the episode is every day to listen. So you can always catch the clips of the show as we drop those throughout the week. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us this week. We will catch you Thursday night when we go live at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time.